Omagyana Samarindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakra Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Anvitam Tam Sajevam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Nitam Sya He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam at this point in the second canto Sukadeva Goswami has begun his instruction to Maharaj Parikshit, the king, mentioned in the verse, Nripa, O king. Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit because Maharaj Parikshit had been cursed to die in 7 days. He wanted some instruction about how to prepare for death. Yeah, if we only have a very short time left to live, we should naturally think about what is the best way to use our time. You know, some people, when they find out they've got some disease, they're going to die soon, you know, think, okay, I'm going to go to Hawaii, I'm going to go to Disneyland, I'm going to find all the enjoyment I can before I die. One of our devotees in Hong Kong had to get some cancer treatment, and she told me that when she was in the hospital, she was surprised that some of the other ladies, before they came in the hospital, they were telling how they had gone out for some pleasure before coming for their surgery. You know, they had gone out to go to some big hotel and have lots of dishes and drink a lot of alcohol. Another one had gone on a holiday with her husband, like this. And even, she said, when they were in there getting the surgery, they would call their friends, quick, bring me some chicken, bring me this, you know, bring me some horrible thing to eat, you know. They were suffering with cancer, and still they're thinking like this, you know, how to enjoy. So, ordinary people, they don't really know how to prepare for death. We're learning, however, from the Srimad Bhagavatam about Maharaj Parikshit. He was fortunate because he had some warning, at least he had some warning, some time to prepare. Not only did he have warning, but he took advantage of it. The first thing he did was leave home. Even though he was king of the world, he gave up everything materially. Prabhupada also taught us like this. Prabhupada taught us, he said, I want to leave this world with nothing. Yeah, he gave everything away before he left the world. He gave away his watch, he gave away some ring he had, gave away, he said, I want to leave this world with nothing. Because if you have nothing, then your mind is peaceful. But when you think you have something, then you're attached to it. And it's very difficult. to give up something when we're attached to it. But we have to give these things up. They will be taken by force if we do not give them up. So it's better to give up things freely rather than to have them taken away by force. So here in the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami has begun his instructions to Maharaj Parikshit. In the first chapter, he described how one could fix one's mind on the universal form of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit especially wanted to know what to fix the mind on. What should I think of? He could understand, he didn't just want to think of his home, or think of his family, think of his kingdom. He wanted something higher than that. Because if we simply think of these material things, we have to come back again to that situation. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains in the 8th chapter that whatever we're remembering at the end of life, then we will attain that state in our next life. You keep a dog and you think of your dog at the time of death, the next life you become a dog. That is not a very nice destination. However, if we can fix our mind on Lord Krishna at the end of life, then we can go to be with Krishna. We can enter the supreme abode. Not immediately. Sometimes people are, what do you mean, not immediately? People want to go immediately. It's very nice, they want to go immediately, but the Goswamis explain to us that you have to develop the bhava more gradually. Before we go straight back to Godhead, we first of all go to that place in the material world where Lord Krishna is performing his pastime. And we go there for more training. Oh, people say, oh no, not another birth. Sometimes people are quite, they feel discouraged. They have to take another birth. But it's as good as going back to Godhead. Because you're going to be there with Krishna. And we get more training. And from that point, then we go, can go back. So he explains, first of all, how people who cannot understand the Lord, the form of the Lord in transcendence, that they can think of the different parts of the universe and how they make up a body. They can think of all the different planetary systems and how they represent the different parts of the body of the Lord, and all the different people in society, how they represent different parts of the body of the Lord. But this is for materialistic people who cannot understand the form of the Lord as being transcendental. They cannot simply come to the temple and see the deities and understand that this is God. They think, what is this? This is just a statue. You know, materialistic people, they cannot see the transcendental nature. They don't have the eyes to see the transcendental nature of the form of the deity. So they can worship the universal form. And in this way, they can come to understand that there's a supreme being over everything. And by understanding there's some supreme being, then they're encouraged to do some service for that supreme being. That's the first chapter. Then in the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami brought the teaching to a little higher level. He explained that besides thinking of the form of the Lord as being made up of different parts of the material creation, we can understand also that the Lord is present in the heart of everybody, every living entity. Not only humans, the Lord is in the heart of every living entity. That is why the learned person in Bhagavad Gita, there's a nice verse, the Paramatma Vision. Vidya vinaya sampani brahmani gavihastine. Sunichai vaswapaki cha samo pandita darshana. One who is a pandit. Pandit means a little learned, educated. He can see everyone equally. He does not discriminate between high and low, good and bad, friend and enemy. He sees the learned and gentle brahmana, the elephant, the cow, the dog, and the dog eater. He sees them all equally because he sees the Lord in the heart of everyone. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing how by contemplating the Lord in the heart, we can also practice this yoga system and leave the body. Last week, we heard how one can go back to the Supreme Abode of the Lord by forcing the light air out of the top of the head. Remember, it was said if there's a hole in the top of the skull, then this is a sign of a very great yogi. That soul has gone out the top of the head. So, you know, I mean, we're not too much ambitious to try to perfect this. You know, there are easier processes. This process is for the yogi, adept in controlling the life airs. It was described, all the things you have to do. You have to block all the other gates. You have to put your foot up your backside so that the soul won't go out there. And you have to force the Atman, the soul, up out of the top of the head. And if you have no material desire, you have absolutely no material desire, not even a tinge, nothing, not even a subtle desire, then you're qualified to go back to Godhead. Anybody qualified? Not so easy. Yeah, very difficult. To be completely free of desire. No desires at all. So now, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining what will happen if you do have some desire. We heard last week, when you have no desire, what happens? Today he's saying, well, what if you have a desire, then what is going to be your destination? What will be your fate? And so, we've heard in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has been explaining about the cities, the Asta cities, the eight different kinds of mystic perfection, how you can get yoga powers or mystic powers. Even in Chinese culture, in Qigong, they have also this desire to get mystic powers. Shintong, you become very spiritually powerful, conquer over nature. So this is, of course, a material desire. Prabhupada explains the different types of yoga perfections. You can make your body very light. When you're very light, you can fly. As mentioned, you can become like the Vidyaharas, that they have bodies which fly. Prabhupada is telling us in the heaven, in the higher planets, the residents in the higher planets, they all have the eight perfections of yoga power. And they have them naturally. They didn't have to do yoga to get them. They're born with them. They're endowed with them. And because of these yoga powers, they can fly from one planet to another. And nobody thinks anything wonderful about it. You know, just like we don't think anything wonderful. You see somebody walking in the road, you don't think it's them anything wonderful. And the same way in the higher planets, they fly from one planet to another, you know, without any effort. It doesn't even take any time. You don't have to wait in the airport. You know, you don't have to wait. The plane might be late. And then you don't have to go through immigration and all these other hassles that you get in the material on this lousy planet. on the higher planet, they don't have any of these things. You know, there's no customs control and no immigration. You don't need visas and passports. You know, freely they can travel from one planet to another. Prabhupada was often told us of the difficulties, even in Prabhupada's time, of traveling. How the immigration officer would be like a barking dog. Just like you come to somebody's house, you know, and if they've got a dog, immediately the dog comes. Why are you coming here? The dog is saying, why are you coming here? This is my place. Don't come here. So immigration officers like that. Why are you coming here? What do you want? Why are you coming? You know, just like barking dogs. So in the higher planets, you know, you don't have these nasty people around, you know. So naturally, there's a tendency to be drawn to these places. We would want to go there. You know, just like when you live in some place like England, where it's always cold and wet, you know, and weather's always horrible, and you hear about a place like Singapore, where the weather's usually nice, you know, it doesn't rain very often, and people think they want to go there, you know. That's why you get so many tourists come here, you know. People like to travel. They want to see other parts of the world. Why? Because the enjoying mentality. Someone was talking about going to the moon. And Prabhupada said, what will you do there? And they said, well, we'll come back, of course. Prabhupada said, that is the enjoying mentality, you see. They want to go somewhere, but they don't want to stay. They just want to go, enjoy, and come back. So this is why we're here in this material world. This is our disease. This is the problem we have. We want to enjoy. This desire to enjoy Prabhupada speaks about here, that this tendency to want to dominate, to be the controller, to be the predominator. We think this material world is here for our enjoyment. But we have to learn that actually it's all meant for the pleasure of Krishna. So long as we have this tendency to want to enjoy, to want to dominate things, then we have to take another material body. And the greater our desire is, you know, we can take birth in the higher planets. We can go all the way up to the Brahma Loka and Dhruva Loka. You know Dhruva Maharaj, how he got that planet, the pole star, was given to him because he had the desire to enjoy. He wanted a kingdom. And he got it. But when he got it, then he lamented that, actually, I don't really want this now. Because he had seen the Supreme Lord. After Dhruva Maharaj had finished his austerities, the Lord appeared to him and gave him the pole star. But when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Supreme Lord Vishnu, then he understood that that was what he really wanted. That what he really wanted was the association of the Lord. And he said this material desire was just like broken glass. That I came here looking for a big kingdom, to get power, to dominate the material world. This was just like looking for pieces of broken glass. But I have found the most beautiful jewel in the service to the Lord. That is compared to the most valuable jewel. So in the same way, we are often troubled by these material desires. We want something. You know, you work hard in a job, you think, I'm going to get promotion. I'll get a big job. I'll be promoted. I'll become the manager. Or I'll be put in charge, get some position. And then when you get that position, you realize you get a little more salary and a lot more headache. Right? you have to work much more, you get a lot more stress, everybody's complaining at you, you know, you're never free. You get what you want, you thought you wanted this position, and then when you get it, then you suffer more. We regret it. The material world is like that, all the way up to the highest planet. Even in the heavenly planets, the denizens of heaven, they have all of these yoga powers. They're wonderful, opulent. They're so intelligent. And they're so endowed with great beauty. And even instead of women, they can get pregnant and give birth immediately. And Prabhupada said, like, when Bhakti Charuswami was given first and second initiation at one time. So it was very unusual. Usually Prabhupada would give first initiation and then wait for some time and then give second initiation. But with Bhakti Charu, for some reason, he decided to give Bhakti Charu Swami first and second at the same time. So Tamal Krishna Goswami told him, he said, you must be a demigod. Because you took birth immediately, right? Without pregnancy. So in the heavenly planet, they do that. They can give birth without pregnancy. So much enjoyment is there. But still, there are problems. There are even Lord Brahma, although his duration of life is so long, that even he is in anxiety about getting old and going to die one day. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartano arjuna mamupecha tu kuntiya punarjanma navidyate. From the highest planet of Brahma down to the lowest, all are places of birth and death. So no one is free from the miseries of life in this material creation. In the higher planet, so much opportunity for enjoyment is there, but also problems, because there's also attachment. Although they have a big position, and when you get a big position, you become attached. We have heard from the scriptures so many stories how when Indra sees someone perform austerity, because Indra is the king of heaven, and when he sees some great yogi or sage doing austerities, becoming more and more powerful, then Indra gets worried. He thinks, he's trying to take my position. And he sends a beautiful woman to lure him, to make him fall down. Why would he do it? Because he's so attached. Indra is so attached to that position. When you get this big position, you get this nice birth, you become very comfortable, you become very attached to it. In the mode of goodness. People in the mode of goodness, that they become very comfortable in that position. We see there's so many people in the mode of goodness. They don't want to become devotees. They're happy. They're thinking, no, I'm fine as I am. I'm a good person. Yeah, they're conditioned to happiness. And they're thinking they're better than others. But their position is not secure. They have to also give up that material body, take another birth. So that is miserable. We have to understand the nature of this material creation. It is simply temporary creation, and it's created for our purification. If we want it, if we want purification, it is there. But if you want sense gratification, then that is also, the facilities are also there. You can enjoy, you can exploit the material resources, you can have sense gratification, but you have to also experience the frustration of sense gratification. That despite repeated attempts to enjoy the material world, that you end up frustrated, disappointed. You never get the ultimate pleasure, the ultimate happiness which we're all seeking. We find some pleasure, but it's never enough. And we will try repeatedly again and again to enjoy. So the path, the Vedic path, is like that. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. The goals of material life. Material religion, bringing economic development allows us more sense gratification. And with that sense gratification, we become more and more disappointed about the material world. And then we think of the alternative, and we think of liberation, moksha. So the Vedas describe this as a karmakanda path. Unfortunately, of course, we know that nobody's practical, hardly anybody's interested in moksha. Everybody's only interested in artha and kama, economic development and sense gratification. Nobody cares a fig for dharma or moksha. Forget that. No way. Yeah. People just simply want make money and enjoy. But the Vedic path was meant to go much further, it's meant to lead to liberation. So in this age, we can't think of this path. There's not enough time. The duration of life is so short. We have but a short life, and we don't know how long we'll have even the ability to think clearly about the purpose of life. So while we still have some intelligence and control over our mind and senses, we should make the best use of this opportunity to understand how to perfect our life. Not by just simply practicing yoga, not by simply endeavoring to become a great yogi, and to walk on water, and do all of these other things. We don't want to become a modern age Houdini. You know, the Houdini Prabhupada said he was a mystic yogi. He had yoga powers. You know, they could do things, Houdini, they could lock him in a box and throw it over, and you know, he would come out. He could make himself very small. He had these different yoga powers. Someone could walk on water. What is the value? The same. You pay some money, you go in the boat, you cross the water. Somebody can fly. We can all, the airport is there. You go there to the airport, you purchase the ticket, you also fly. What is the progress? So all of the achievements, all of these yoga powers have already been achieved through technology. An intelligent person can understand. Prabhupada saw one man, he said in Calcutta, one man had come, he said, what fruit do you want? And someone said, pomegranate. So he immediately, he had that Prakamya Siddhi. He could make it manna, he brought a pomegranate from Kabul. Kabul has very famous for pomegranate. And he bought this wonderful pomegranate from Kabul. So today also you can go in the market, you can pay the money, you get the pomegranate from Kabul, you know. These things are available. You don't need yoga powers to do these things. Therefore, we do not waste our time, and we should not also be attracted by such things. People are often endeavoring simply to acquire these powers. They think this is the goal. To get some wonderful power. People will worship me. This is the cause. We have this desire for pratishta. Love, puja, pratishta. To be given great respect, that people will honor us, that we have these wonderful powers. But this is material desire. A devotee must have no material desire. Right? Bhukti mukti siddhi kame sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam sa esha shanta. This is the verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Everyone else is, they have some desire. The yogi wants to control the universe. The karmi wants to enjoy the senses. The jnani is enjoying his mind. But devotee has no desire for enjoyment. Devotee is peaceful. He is peaceful because he just has no desire. He's not asking anything. He just simply wants to serve. Therefore we pray, O Supreme Lord Krishna, O Supreme Energy of the Lord Hari, please engage me in your service. We're not looking to get anything. We're not doing business. To become a devotee really means to stop doing business. Everyone else, we do business, you know. You may be the worker, but you do business with your employer. You don't work without salary. But devotional service, you may not like it, you may not be pleased to hear it, there's no salary. Right? You don't get paid. You get simply more service. The more the ladies cook, the more we ask them to cook. Right? Oh, Mataji, you're very good. Your cooking is very wonderful. You please cook the next offering. Right? This is the nature of devotional service, that it brings more service. The more we serve Krishna, the more we should want to serve Krishna also. The devotional service satisfies the desire of the soul. When we're properly situated, then we feel satisfaction. That is the nature of devotional service. Prabhupada often gives the example, you take the fish out of water, even you put it in the nice five-star hotel with air conditioning, and give it drinks and cigars, you know, the fish simply says, put me back in the sea. In the same way, in our material life, even though we may have the most wonderful opulence, the most heavenly pleasures, all kinds of sense enjoyment, we will not be satisfied by, and so long as we neglect the soul. Because the soul has its own need. And the need of the soul is to be connected to the Supreme Soul, to Lord Krishna. And this is done through the medium of devotional service. Tamal Krishna Goswami was pointing out on one lecture about how Prabhupada translates the word bhakti. He said, often, usually when people have the word bhakti, they will simply translate it as devotion. But Srila Prabhupada always translated bhakti as being devotional service. Not just simply devotion, but service with devotion. So we see this again in the purport, at the end of the purport. Prabhupada repeatedly in his purport implores us, he urges us, you know, service. By doing service, Krishna is pleased. The more we try to serve, the more we purify our existence. So, you know, just simply trying to be a yogi, get some power, it may take many, many lifetimes, we may never be successful. But you do some simple service, and very quickly you can make advancement. The example is given, walking up the stairs and taking the elevator. You know, if somebody lives on the ninth floor, you know, in China, if you live on the ninth floor, you have to walk up the stairs. A lot of buildings are just nine floors. And the government don't allow any elevators if it's only nine floors. So you walk up the stairs. But if it's a bigger building, they have elevators. So if somebody lives on the 22nd floor, you know, you're not going to walk up the stairs unless you're really a keep fit fanatic. Or there's no electricity. But, you know, usually you walk in, take the, so devotional service is the elevator. Very rapidly we can make advancement in spiritual life. We can become detached, we can become free of material desires just by simply engaging in Krishna service. One of the famous devotees from the early years, Jayananda Prabhu, he was always very active in doing service for the temple. You would see, although he was the temple president, you would see him do things like taking the garbage out and going to purchase the vegetables, cutting, cleaning, doing so many things. So somebody, whenever anybody would ask him, what do you think about this? He would say, I don't have time, I never had time to think about it. So, you know, that was the secret of devotional service. Keep yourself busy in devotional service, then you don't have time to think about all these other things which will simply trouble our mind. You know, think about when am I getting a holiday, and this person said that to me, that person did this to me. You don't have to worry about anything. You just simply do service. And the more we're busy, the less time we have to think. The idle mind is the devil's workshop, is a common thing. So it's very important for all of us to keep ourselves busy. Not just simply busy in endeavoring for economic development, but busy in Krishna service. Constantly engaging in Krishna service. We have so many different engagements in the Krishna consciousness movement. Just like today, we are celebrating Tamal Krishna Goswami's Vyasa Puja. So devotees were working very hard, cooking different offerings. And we hope that you will also, you would like to speak something to glorify the devotees. That is also very nice. We like to ask other devotees to speak your realization, your praise about someone. It's important for us to keep our mind always active in thinking good, thinking about Krishna's service, how to do more service, how to please the devotee. In the material world, we just spend the time thinking about bad things, how to do harm, how to trouble people. But devotees, we want to simply do good. We're full of compassion for the fallen condition. So we have to think about how to deliver them. Not just only think, but actually do it as well. Thinking that you know, if we tell Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, I was thinking about going out today and distributing 100 Bhagavad Gita. And somebody else comes back and said, Prabhupada, I went out today and distributed 100 Gita. Now who's Prabhupada going to be more pleased with? Obviously the person who distributed the book. So thinking is the start, at least. But don't stop with just only thinking. We have to also do it. We have to be engaged in Krishna's service. There's so much opportunity for service everywhere, wherever we go. One of our devotees in China, I was very surprised. I heard recently there was one elderly lady who was retired, and she's put up her own little website in Chinese and in English. And she doesn't even know English. I was surprised. I said, how could she do it? He said, well, somehow she got some books and she just learned and made some arrangements. She did it. She had such a strong desire. She wanted to do some service for Krishna, and she took a course in her elderly age. She took a course on how to do website, and she put up her own website. And then she did it in English as well. I mean, she doesn't know a word of English. So this is how we can become empowered to do service for Krishna. Krishna gives us the ability. If we want, Krishna can empower us. just as Srila Prabhupada could go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness and spread it all over the world. Krishna Shakti Vininai Saraprabhata Kali Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vininai Saraprabhata. That the Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name. And one who is empowered with the energy of Krishna, then he can he will be successful. He will be able to propagate the holy name of the Lord. So this is Krishna Shakti. Tamal Krishna Goswami, it's appropriate today that we can especially remember his success as a preacher of Krishna consciousness. That he could make so many people devotees. Just incredible potency in bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Especially during the Radha Damodar days, his traveling and preaching program was so successful that wherever they went, they could pick up young people and make them devotees of Krishna. And so many of them are still in the movement. They're still active devotees preaching Krishna consciousness. His program of preaching Krishna consciousness was so powerful, it just conquered over people, and they would just give up their college, they're studying, and they may have been studying in a college or some comfortable job, whatever, they would just give it up and come and join the Radha Damodar party and go off traveling in a bus distributing Prabhupada's books. How did they do it? They were affected by the potency of devotees, particularly Goswami Maharaj, and how he could preach to people, how he could influence them. There's a nice story I heard recently about how he made one man a life member. You know, in India, when devotees first went to India, Prabhupada didn't like that we were just selling books in the street, because that was considered low class in India. So Prabhupada arranged that they could go and meet the different businessmen and industrialists, and they would ask them to become life members, and in this way support our Krishna consciousness movement. And we would offer them incentives like the set of all of Prabhupada's books. And we would also tell them, we will have guest houses, you can stay in our guest houses for a few days, and this will be all given as privileges to our life members. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard about one man. He was a very big man, very prestigious, very famous. And the devotees decided, if this man can become a member, if we make this man a member, then we will get many other members. You know, India is like that. If you've got one person who is well known, then, you know, everyone who knows him, they will also want to follow him. Yad yada chariti shrishta tata devita. You know, whatever actions a great person do, other people will follow. So we will go and say, you know, Mr. So-and-so is a member. Yes, you also have to become. Oh, well, he's a member, is he? Oh, you know, so like that, he was here, and they have to become a member. So this one man, you know, they told Goswami Maharaj was to go there and make him a member. They thought, if we get him a member, we'll, you know, we can get everybody. He's very well known, very famous man. If you make him a member, everyone will become. So Goswami Maharaj went there and he was preaching to him and telling, you know, the benefits, showed him everything. He said, so this is the form, please become our life member. And he said, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to be a member. So, you know, tried another approach, you know, and say, you know, we know, you know, you're very well known. This is not a lot of money. The donation you're paying is insignificant, doesn't mean anything to you. You can easily become a member. Please, become our member. No, I don't want to be a member. So, went up again and again, different approaches, suggest, you know, tried to convince him to be a member. he wouldn't be a member. So finally, Goswami Maharaj got everything, put it all away in his briefcase. He said, "All right, I've decided we don't want you to be a member." And as soon as he said that, the man said, "No, just a minute, I want to be a member." You know? It was the catch-22. When he told them, "We don't want you to be a member," they said, no, I want, please. So, he was so expert in preaching, very wonderful, that he could do these different things that engage so many people in Krishna consciousness. Because this is, our service, we can engage ourselves, but the more expert a person is, they can engage others also. We want to encourage more and more people to take up devotional service. We don't want to drive people away from Krishna consciousness. We want to welcome people in Krishna consciousness and encourage them with their service. It's very important that we also appreciate the service done by other devotees. I am appreciating all of the Singapore devotees. I just come here and visit here and initiate some people, but you're the ones who stay here and have to cultivate the devotees and train them and give them the opportunity for Krishna conscious programs. So although you don't have a temple, I can understand it's really not easy. You don't have your own place where you can meet. Like in Hong Kong, at least we have our own place. We have programs there. So much easier, but here in Singapore you have to rent places, and nothing is your own, you don't have, and everything you have to pay for, of course, and nothing is cheap here also. So I appreciate so much your endeavors, your efforts in maintaining Krishna consciousness and continuing to develop Krishna consciousness. And I'm sure if you go on, just go on, stay in the boat, even though things may get tough, even though the boat may rock, if you stay on the boat will cross the ocean. But once you get, if you get off the boat, then problems. So this is the idea, just stay in Krishna consciousness, and stay engaged in Krishna service, continue to work for Prabhupada, Prabhupada's mission, and in this way, surely we will all go back to Godhead. So are there any questions or comments on this verse today? Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, if somebody is doubting the explanation, the information given in the scriptures, how the universe is being described and how the universal form is being presented, then, such people, we can understand they're challenging, they're not very open-minded, they're bringing their own ideas into trying to understand information given in the Vedic scriptures. So such people are really not qualified for this kind of explanation. There's no point in trying to debate further with them. But, we can encourage them to eat prasadam, as you say. Let them have some prasadam. And maybe they can take part in the kirtan. One time in Bhaktivedanta Manor, Prabhupada was discussing with some young man, and Prabhupada would give so many different preaching arguments, and the man would not accept any of them. One after another, the man would argue about it, no, it cannot be, why then, and so many. And Prabhupada was preaching to him for our benefit. Not for this boy's benefit, he knew this man was useless. But for our benefit, he was showing us how we could preach and different arguments which could be made. But then the next day, the same man, Prabhupada came by the temple room, and Prabhupada saw the same young man was in the kirtan, and he was dancing with the devotees. And Prabhupada said to us, he said, just see, that this is the power of Sankirtan, the power of the holy name. That although we can debate and you can give the most perfect argument, but the person may never accept. But kirtan is very, very powerful medicine. So let everyone chant the holy name and eat prasada. And in this way they can become a little purified. If they will do more kirtan and prasada, then they can hear a little more. And a little more. You can give them gradually small doses of the philosophy. But kirtan and prasada are so essential, the most powerful preaching. If we can get someone attached to these things, then they will never give up Krishna consciousness. Okay? So we will stop now. It's nearly 10:30 and we have to begin the ceremony of Vyasa Puja of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi. Thank you.